An idiot twitches on the sidewalk. He could not predict that antifreeze is not the soothing lime soda that it resembles, but he saw the TV ad. Limited intelligences narrow the world through simplified interpretations that often result in such unpredictable conclusions. On a hypothetical island, the crowd surges forward with a morbid demand to have what the wealthier do, much like we give children toy kitchens and fire trucks. They bring in exchange a dubious gift. Unreality, considered to be real because the limited world of inaccurate symbols is easier to understand than the whole of reality. Punji is a small island in a vast ocean with a single large city upon it. The inhabitants make their living by harvesting the delicious meat of the giant aquatic centipede, which requires submersible diving platforms hand-cranked by 5 people. A common lament of employees. If I could just get a 500 dinar submersible, man, I'd be set. One season, Roger employee, a young man with a curious blank stare, does exactly that. I've connected the innovative engine of Professor Gottstein Blitz that runs on human flesh to an inverted chrome toilet. 500 dinars and it'll take you up and down. The rest is up to you. The population of people so simple they have been used for daily tasks raises its collective head. 500 dinar, wow. I could afford that. The next day no one shows up at work. They are all proud owners of their own submersibles. Former owners of centipede diving teams, now obsolete, retire to sprawling mansions in the hills, where they concentrate on being rich and marrying off their children to inoffensive, useless people, usually genteel drug addicts and clergymen.
We must be right with God. Assassination, death is a new form. Good and rise, good is good and gone. Strong fate, good of humanity. I see darkness. I see darkness. I like the pain, crime, misery. Dreams are soft, victory. I've been the witness that to stay alive. I pull the face of the deity. I made the world, made it black. As lava makes the skull feel down. I was the voice of the son of sand. As a knife in a river's hand. I made creak, and roar. Still rise, forevermore. Through the breath, the spirit I born. As reason, death in a huge form. Lord of eyes, fetish things and God. Skull see, curse of humanity.
Suffering of mankind, I'm death itself, the horror of life.
I see darkness. I see darkness. I like a planet, night of misery. To devour, stop, battery. I'm in ways to set to stay alive. I'm not the slaves of my deity. I made the world, made it black. As lava makes the skull feel damp. I was the voice of the son of sand. And a knife in the river's hand. I made screech, I roar. The steel knife, forevermore. I'd see darkness. I'd see darkness.
I am the sword that kindled the slayer of death. I'm homicidal, destructive rage. I am the pain and suffering of mankind. I'm death itself.
Dark. Open eyes, I see. Darkness. I see. Darkness.
Great Aunt Martha dies, and her niece Angie starts the 500 dinar loan agency, becomes rich as a king, and retires to the hills with the drug addict. A cottage industry in servicing the 500 dinar submersible springs up around the city. Of course, the idea of a cheap submersible has some flaws, like leaking, and, in its quick dives, giving its operators a subtle form of the bend that doesn't kill them, but gradually erodes their minds and leaches calcium from their bones. Hunched, incoherent cripples swarm the island with mumbled curses. A new deluge of doctors rush to the island to treat this new gold rush of patients. Of course, there's no cure. Only symptomatic treatment. But that's actually more profitable. Quack remedies and voodoo charms are sold to the remaining divers, who awake with teeth grinding at night in fear of the brain bends. Overnight, the economy redefines itself. Its previous slow, ponderous motion guaranteed the workers a decent but sparse life. But now there's a chance of, like winning the lottery, getting rich. Many do. The rest become a permanent underclass who are thrown from job to job like rag dolls. Businesses last like cut flowers. One day successful, the next worthless. Citizens in paranoid neurosis shuffle between investments with the fear that they could lose it all, and consequently keep their criticisms to themselves. Wouldn't want to miss out on that next insider trading tip and end up in the poorhouse. Government throws out its grandfatherly wise men, philosophers, shamans, old warriors, and replaces them with a hair-gelled salesman. "We can have it all," he says, "and we can have it cheap. It's the 500 dinar regime, and it will last forever." The voting card each election has five options for what will cost 500 dinars. Immortality and beauty always head the list. "Haven't figured that one out yet," said Professor Gottstein Blitz, laboring with fingernail scissors on a nuclear reactor. Mr. Employee sells his stock and flees to the hills, where he lives alone in a grotesque mansion of clashing colours and gold leaf. When he dies, his money goes to a foundation that teaches quantum physics to the retarded. Taxes are lower than ever. The government has become part of the marketplace. Products are also cheap. What's not are the services which absorb the cost of these discounts. Education, medicine, construction. Watching another house made from popsicle sticks and plaster of Paris go up in the ruins of the old. One wise citizen exclaims to another, "Sure is good we have these 500 dinar houses. Don't know how people did it in the old days." They replace them yearly after the rains. Corporations, the only people with enough money left to do anything big, buy up the entire centipede industry, because it takes big money to prospect for these increasingly rare creatures. In fact, the population is declining, having fallen below replacement levels. "The concept of centipede depletion is liberal nonsense," claims the president. "There's plenty more hiding under whale turds out there." He bows his head. "Let us pray." We'll be right back. The nearby island of Ganji, whose inhabitants are known for being lazy and smoking the flower of the polyglot hibiscus, is tapped for its reserves of human flesh to run submersibles. At first they buy up the retards, paedophiles and cripples to grind up in the machines, but soon more is needed. "How am I going to pay your taxes when I can't run my sub?" goes up the cry. And Punji goes to war against Ganji, quickly subjugating its opponents with superior firepower. Now they feed them wholesale into the machines after war crime trials conducted using bingo cards. "You, Marco Vesuvius, or however you primitives say it, are charged with willfully firing on the peacekeeping force with intent to kill," says the judge. "Sentence, guilty. Immediate execution." He keeps a boombox blasting Eminem to drown out the cries of the families, who he notes snidely are also guilty via Section 666 FUK. "Justice is served," he bleats between lines of cocaine. Most Ganges are hired as discount labor, which makes cheaper products. "Delighted," screams the bored housewife, entering her security code to lock the house against intrusion by impoverished, angry labor. Her husband, bored and depressed from a day of moving piles of paper between inboxes, grunts and reads his newspaper. The needs increase and the population of wealthy and poor alike breeds constantly, necessitating a series of foreign wars. Since taxes cannot be raised, they are funded by selling bonds made of human skin. "Used to be I had to plow a field," says one sharp young businessman. "Now I move one fund to another, pick up an interest loan here and there, and, well, it's a Punji success story." He drives his BMW to his mansion in the hills, finds his cocktail waitress wife boning the pool man, shoots them both and then himself. "Maybe the other side has some prospects," he says. "Sell reincarnation insurance to wandering souls." Indeed, most of the population now make their money from owning things. They import cheap labor from Ganji and breed it with their children. "With their laziness and our smarts, we'll produce the perfect business people." Then they go back to wondering about which investments will retire them and which will make them part of the permanent, indebted, illiterate underclass. A young activist ponders that, if the smarter elements of the upper middle class were simply to agree on a course of action, they could buy out government and stop the insanity. He is shot in the forehead by an anarchist with sharpened teeth. "Can't have him wrecking my garbanzo bean futures." The garbanzo bean market, like every other on the island, varies entirely with the fortunes of the harvest of near-extinct aquatic centipedes. Nationalists shoot Ganges outside churches and then turn guns on themselves. Liberals educate morons that laziness is evil and then hire them at minimum wage. Preachers shrilly dictate how love will bring us together, or at least sign enough bucks so that the question is moot for them personally. Nuclear silos and prisons decorate the hills. At night, the entire island vibrates with the grinding of teeth. The philosopher sips hemlock at a cocktail party. "Dunno," he said. "The truth, words representing reality, aren't popular these days. Are you sure you haven't conquered yourselves?" A visitor 500 years later finds an island packed with starving, illiterate people, their eyes curiously blank amidst the ruins of a great enterprise for harvesting extinct beasts. These visitors do what is natural when encountering lower intelligences, which is to subjugate them and use them for menial labor. Eventually, their society too collapses, and with it the world economy. When aliens arrive 500 years later, they find a planet packed with starving illiterates and harvest their flesh to feed the intergalactic engines of their spacecraft.
The old raven stands amid the battle dead. He pecks and gouges, pulls and tears, and stands so proud and fed. You raven with your dark black sheen, you raven with your beak, I see the end of my comrades, and I choke and I cannot speak.
love.